Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is WTIC's Law Talk, a project of the Hartford County Bar Association. If you have a legal question, call now 860-522-WTIC or 800-966-WTIC. And now it's time for Law Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080 and WTIC.com.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Law Talk. I am Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association, and welcome to your legal interactive toolbox. The whole purpose of this program is to try to provide you the information that will help you navigate your way among that thicket of laws and rules and regulations that seems to bedevil all of us one time or another. We're here until 1 o'clock, and the way we do that, the way we carry out our mission, is by taking your phone calls at 860-522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC. If it's easier with numbers than letters on your device, that's all 522-9842, 1-800-966-9842. Love to hear from you. When you call us and allow us to help you on the air, you're allowing us to help others that may have a similar issue that are listening but haven't quite called in. So once again, happy to hear from you at 860-522-WTIC, 1-800-966-9842. Remember also, it's streaming audio live on the internet, WTIC.com, and hit listen live. No matter where you are, you're able to get to us. So let me tell you what we've got lined up for today. And between calls, we'll be talking about a bunch of different things. There's a term out of probate law called ademption. Big old $10 word. We're going to tell you exactly what that means and how it plays out in the real world. Attorney advertising. On a personal note, and something to watch out for if you've got an attorney that is pointing very proudly to the plaques in his or her waiting room. Number three, joint bank accounts, unknown risks. A lot of people use them for different purposes, and there are some serious problems many people are not aware of. Finally, if we get to it, Alex Jones. No, I know, despicable, but there's a freedom of speech issue and there's a really unusual statute here in Connecticut. It's only a couple of years old. He's tried to make full advantage of it, and we'll let you know about it and we'll let you know exactly where that has gone. In the meantime, first off, happy to let you know that those calls we're going to be getting to in just a moment, but if you're thinking about giving us a call, maybe listening about it, well, we're only here until 1 o'clock, so we'd love to hear from you in person before then, and we're going to start off right now with Howard in Cheshire. Hi, Howard. You're on Law Talk. Tell us how we can help you.
Yes. I wanted to find out about estate planning. My mom passed away a couple of years ago, and she was in Oklahoma, and she had a living trust, and it seemed to make things a lot easier. The house and her car and everything, everything but her IRA was in the name of the trust. And I thought that made life easier for my sister and I when we settled her estate, because if there was probate, I wasn't aware of it. And I was wondering, is that something that's good in every state, or is it different in Connecticut? Because somebody told me it really doesn't do much for you in Connecticut, and I just don't know.
Howard, it's a great question, so let me address it this way. Living trusts or inter vivos trusts, the way they were referred to, and some of us went to law school in the dark days and you were still expected to use Latin, are a standard estate planning tool, but they're not for everybody. And so let's talk about those a little bit. First of all, there's the way that you decide if you need one. You start off by saying, well, what is the purpose that I'm trying to accomplish? Okay. Some people say, well, I want to save taxes. The typical living trust is a revocable living trust, or revocable, depending on how you pronounce it. It is tax neutral. It will not save you 1 cent on taxes. The assets on there are still going to be reported on the tax return. An irrevocable living trust is a higher end estate planning tool, usually for people with substantial assets. It becomes its total separate tax paying entity. There are management issues, filing issues, so it's not for everybody. But your question about whether they're usable in Connecticut, yes, they are. The trouble is that we live in a state where there are some people who market them extremely aggressively. Not everybody needs one. So getting back to our model here, first question is, well, what is the purpose I want to accomplish? Some people, taxes, it's not going to do it with a revocable trust. Some people will say, well, privacy. Okay, that keeps your assets out of the probate court inventory when you die. And if you don't want people to know about what you owned after you're gone, using a living trust will help you to accomplish that. A lot of my clients say, well, I'm going to be gone anyway, so why do I really care? But for those for whom the privacy is important, it's certainly a good way to achieve that. There's a couple of other reasons also. If you have very specific management needs for an asset, you can also use it to avoid conservatorship while you're alive by using the trust and having the successor trustee take over for you if you become disabled. So, Howard, this is a good point for me to catch my breath and see if I've answered your question or if I've triggered some more for you.
Well, yeah, you have answered some of the questions, but I guess when the way I looked at it is my sister and I were trustees when my mom was still alive, and we could take care of her bank accounts and her bills and things like that, and so that was good. And then, I'm looking at it for me, for my kids who are in their 20s now, down the road, it just not having to go through much exercise as far as dividing assets, and they would be co-trustees, and just making it easier when we do pass. So those are my two kind of goals. It's not the privacy thing, it's not the tax thing, but it's more the ease of dealing with things when it happens. And and like you said, if I were to become, my wife and I were to become incapacitated, then they could easily step in.
Well, all of those are very, very good points. Making it simpler to administer is always a function of what the exact circumstances are at any moment in time. And the circumstances today may end up changing dramatically if somebody becomes ill or injured, or if the successor trustee, in your case, the children that you're considering, if they end up with some kind of personal issues or get dragged into a bankruptcy or something else diverts their attention. So the best thing to do, Howard, is if you have an attorney, instead of going by the ads or going to some kind of a brunch or something else where you get a high pressure sales pitch, ask your attorney if they think that you need a trust and if they can help you, and if not, would he or she refer you to somebody that they know who does the work? You're going to get probably as good or better a result, and it's going to cost you less because you're not paying somebody for all of the money that they spent on that brunch or that that breakfast or that dinner to try to do the hard sell for the trust. Thanks for the call.
It.
Excellent question, Howard. And we'll look forward to hearing from you in the future if you've got another question, okay?
Okay.
Thanks.
Take care now.
All right. That's Howard in Cheshire. We're going to take a break in just a moment. Andrew in Glastonbury, you stick with us. Interesting question, ones that we've discussed previously, and we're going to get back to it because it's a common issue. Also, anyone else, we'd love to talk to you at 860-522-9842, 1-800-966-WTIC. I am attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association, and this is Law Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080. City, and WTIC.com, streaming audio on the net.
TIC, News Talk 1080.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Law Talk right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association, your legal interactive toolbox. That's what we are. That's what we do from 12 noon until 1 p.m. on these Saturdays. And the way we do that is we dispense legal information, especially in response to your phone calls at 860-522-WTIC, 1-800-966-9842. We're here until 1 o'clock. Coming up next is Andrew and Glastonbury. After that, we've got another call from Simsbury, but there is room for you, and we'd love to help you out also. So keep that in mind. Once again, 860-522-9842, 1-800-966-WTIC. Andrew and Glastonbury, you're on Law Talk, and thank you for holding on over the break there.
Yes, hi. My question is, if a neighbor's tree falls on my fence, is the neighbor liable to fix the fence?
Well, it's a great question, Andrew. If based on the number of times we've discussed it before and the number of times people have called, it continues to be a great question. So I got to give a little more detail to the question in order to answer it, because otherwise you get the classic lawyer answer, it depends, and we don't want to do that. So here's the details, okay? If this tree was damaged or dead or in some other fashion, it was noticeable that it was at risk for falling over, so that your neighbor either knew about it or in the exercise of reasonable care should have known about it, then the neighbor will be liable for the damage falling into your yard. Okay? Now, if this happened in the middle of a hurricane, then there's an act of God defense and they're not going to be liable for it. So against that backdrop, give me a little more facts, Andrew, and let's see how it fits for your circumstance. Okay?
Well, and the tree appears to be dead, and it did take a windstorm to break it and have it fall.
Okay, so it has fallen already then?
Yes.
Okay, what I would do is, first of all, have you had the tree removed yet? Have you had it cut up or removed?
No, it's still lying there.
Okay, when you do, make sure that you get some photos of it, and the people that do the tree removal, make sure they look at it. You want to establish its condition to show that it was either rotted or broken or diseased or whatever it was. And then what you do is you make a claim against your neighbor, and you can do this with a letter or you can have a lawyer help you with it, saying that they negligently failed to take the appropriate steps to keep it from falling, even though they knew or should have known of its dangerous condition. They'll turn it over to their homeowner's insurance carrier. Hopefully they will take care of your damages and your expenses. In the meantime, you might want to consider notifying your own homeowner's insurance carrier just in case you have any coverage there. If you do, they will pay your claim, and then they will do what's called subrogation. They will make a claim against the neighbor for you to try to get back what they've paid you.
Is there statute of limitations? How long I wait after the tree falls?
Yeah, you've got 2 years from the time the tree fell, and there's a couple of exceptions, but better stick with 2 years. And the sooner you do it, the better, because those folks that are going to help you cut it up or remove it, that you want to make into witnesses and the photos you want to take, the closer in time you take those to when the tree fell, the better you're going to be able to prove its condition at the time it fell. You take those 12 months or 18 months later, there's going to be an argument they don't reflect the condition of the tree at the time that it fell. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I understand.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Call us on a future show and let us know how it turns out, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, excellent. Take care now. All right, that's Andrew in Glastonbury, and some advice for what happens when your neighbor's tree falls in your yard. Our phone number is 860-522-WTIC, 1-800-966-9842. We've got a line open for you, and we would love to talk to you. But first, let's go to John in Cromwell. Hi, John. You're on the air. Tell us how we can help you.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Glad to do so, John.
I have a question on my mother-in-law is recently, her husband has passed away, and she wants to leave me the home and everything. And she wants to know, is there any way, I believe she's 78 now, she wants to know, is there any way to protect that if she goes into like a hospital or something like that in the future? Because I thought there was some type of law that there's 5 years before the state can take the house away.
Yeah, John, that's a really important subject. So I'm glad that you brought it up because I think a lot of people need to know more about that. So what you're referring to is Medicaid. If your mother-in-law ends up going into a nursing home, and by the way, the average cost of a nursing home in Central Connecticut right now is something like $16,000 per month, okay? That burns through most people's savings at an alarmingly fast rate. So what happens is there's a program called Medicaid, which is a federal program administered by the state of Connecticut, and it will pay the nursing home costs, okay? That's the good news. The bad news is that in order to be eligible for that, you have to be impoverished. You're permitted to have $1,600 in liquid assets, a prepaid burial plan, and very, very little else. Probably the clothes on your back and the shoes on your feet. Now, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not very much. So what a lot of people do if they are concerned about this is they go to a lawyer that specializes in estate planning or elder law, because there are ways that by transferring some of these assets or the use of certain types of trusts, certain of these assets can be protected and they will not be counted in determining if you're financially eligible for Medicaid or not. Okay, so the five-year reference that you made is a reference to what's called the five-year look-back period. If your mother-in-law is going to transfer that property, say, to you, hypothetically, they'll start at the time she applies for a Medicaid benefits, and they'll look back 5 years to see if she transferred any assets for less than fair market value, and that would include the property she's talking about. If she has, it will delay the eligibility for Medicare substantially.
Okay.
So I hope that's helpful. I know I ran through a lot of terms there, but does that give a little better answer to your question?
Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
Okay, and there are trusts. I see that on the screen here. It says leave something in a trust for you. There are ways to do that, but it's going to have to be an irrevocable trust, and it's tricky. She should be seen by an attorney that specializes in elder law, because this is an area where there's a constant fight with the state over whether certain transfers render somebody ineligible or not. But that's what should be done, John, and my best wishes to her and to you also.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You're very welcome, and the same to you. Okay, we're going to have to break in just a minute. Before we do that, let's go to Janine in Simsbury. Hi, Janine. We're going to talk to you, and if the news comes up and gets in our way, we're going to ask you to hold on. So tell me how we can help you on the air. Hi, Janine.
I'm calling.
There we go. Go ahead.
I'm calling because I understand that you have a referral line for attorneys if you need a specific attorney for something specific. And my question is about, I have a friend that's collecting disability from the Veterans Administration for a health issue that he has. At the same time that he incurred the first health issue, there was another health issue that he also was trying to collect disability for. He's being treated for it.
Okay, understood. I'm going to interrupt you for just a minute, Janine, okay? Because that music in the background says that I've got about 35 seconds. The answer is yes, there is a referral service. I'm going to tell you all about it on the backside of the news. And I'm going to ask you if you'll hold on over the news break so that we can pick it right up, and then we'll go right into that, okay? And
Thank you very much.
Do that. It's a very good deal. In the meantime, I'm going to put you on hold, so stay with us. I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association. You're listening to a delightfully lively session of Law Talk right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. Next up is news, sports, etc., and we return right after that.
And now, back to Law Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080.
and welcome back, everybody, to part two of Law Talk for a currently sunny Saturday. I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association. We're going to go back to Janine from Simsbury. Jean in Hartford, you stay with us. We're going to get to your call shortly. The rest of you, we'd love to hear from you. It's been a great morning so far, early afternoon. We've got a line or two open, and we are only here until 1 o'clock this week. Phone number is 860-522-9842, 1-800-966-WTIC. Okay, back to Janine. Hi, Janine. Are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thanks for holding on over the news and so on there. All right, you were asking about a referral service, and that is a great opportunity for me to explain what it is that we do here. The Hartford County Bar Association operates a not-for-profit, underline not-for-profit, lawyer referral service. Now, this consists of a couple of hundred lawyers in a whole bunch of different specialties. I think there's about 24 different areas that are covered. They have all been vetted, so they are insured, they are experienced, they're free of disciplinary problems. So I want you to take a note because I'm going to tell you how this program works, and for the rest of our listeners, you do likewise because it's a great deal, okay? You phone them at the phone number that I'm going to give you in just a moment. So that's a cue to get the pencils ready. And when you call them, they'll ask you a couple of questions to determine the nature of the legal issue that you have. They will then refer you to an attorney who practices in the right discipline to help you. So here's what you get, and here's what it costs. What you get is a half-hour consult with the attorney, and that can be in person in the attorney's office. It can be over the telephone. You can do it over Zoom. Whatever you want to do, that's fine, okay? There is no obligation whatsoever after that. But if further legal services are requested, you and the attorney are free to discuss that. If you reach an agreement to go forward together, that's great. If you don't, that's great also. Part two, what does it cost? Okay, there's a one-time only charge of $35 to help pay for the cost of personnel and office space and phone lines, and that's it. But if you have an issue concerning a personal injury claim, they will waive the $35 fee. You don't have one of those, but you've got a workers' compensation claim, they're going to waive the $35 fee for you too. Well, and how about a Social Security disability claim? Absolutely. No $35 fee. So now here's the number that you call to reach them. It's the Lawyer Referral Service. It's 860-525-6052. That's 860-525-6052. Janine, did you get that number?
860-525-6052.
Excellent. Okay, you get an A for that. And if you give them a call, I think you'll find that for the very, very nominal cost, you're going to get a lot of value for the money, especially given the hourly rates that experienced attorneys charge. This is a really good program. So please give them a call. I think they'll be able to help you out. Okay, Janine?
Yes, I have one more question. Can you explain to me what a nexus letter is?
I don't know exactly the context in which you're using the term. I know that there's a research service called LexisNexis, but it doesn't sound like that's what you're referring to.
No, this veteran is in the process of appealing a disability claim, and they said that he needs to have a Nexus letter when he comes to appeal it.
Okay, I suspect it has to do with some medical evidence showing that there's a nexus between his military service and the injury or the illness that he seeks treatment for. But I think the Lawyer Referral Service has people that are familiar with veterans' benefits, and I think if you ask them, they can help you out or they can help out this veteran.
Perfect. I appreciate your help today.
I'm glad to be able to help. That's why we're here. And best of luck to you and to the veteran, Janine. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Okay, bye now. Okay, helping out every way that we can. I'm Attorney John Matulis. This is Law Talk, a joint venture of WTIC, News Talk 1080, and the Hartford County Bar Association. Next up, let's go to line four. Jean, you've been holding for a very long time. Thank you for your patience. You are on Law Talk.
Yes, hi. I have two questions. One is there anything in Connecticut or Hartford area, a pro bono or a low-cost situation for like seniors who have low incomes and a low-cost estate planning thing? And the second thing would be if one uses an online like will or trust preparation, should it be also covered or gone over by a real lawyer, a physical lawyer in person to make sure there's nothing wrong?
Okay, great questions. The answers are yes and yes. First question about whether or not you could find a lower cost estate planning service. What I'm going to recommend is that you might want to try, at least to start, the lawyer referral service, and then you might want to check with the senior center at the community that you live in. I see that you're in Hartford here. There are a number of groups. I know there's one in the South End. There's a number of others. And they may provide some kind of a service that's similar to that. However, estate planning is generally considered the practice of law, so it usually has to be done by attorneys. The second question you're asking is, if you do this with online forms, is it a good idea to have an attorney review it? Absolutely. I had a case with a client of mine. He was an engineer, very smart guy, and he went ahead and did his will from some lines he got from some forms he got from a company in Colorado. And I had to go and see him in the hospital, and he had me take a look at the will, and he had messed it up. He had clicked two boxes in a row when he should have clicked only one of them. And so the will contained two paragraphs that were completely contradictory. And this is a very bright guy who, you know, should not have made that mistake, but it's tricky. It involves terms and concepts people aren't familiar with. So the answer is, if you are going to do that, by all means, have an attorney who practices in that area in the state where you are, review the documents. The other risk is that some of those documents are written to the laws of a particular state, but in the internet, you know, everything is different. And that's what this guy did. He was here in Connecticut. He got these forms from some Colorado-based outfit, and it messed him up anyway. So those are the two answers, Gene, and I hope that you find that helpful.
Yes, I do. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Glad to help out. Okay, we're going to get to Art in Manchester shortly. Just wanted to let you know that as much as we like dispensing information here, we like doing it when we can talk to you and dialogue with you at the same time. So this has been a good way for us to share some information. Otherwise, you're going to have to listen to me. So that said, let me remind you, we've got a line or two open. We are only here until about 1 o'clock. And the numbers to reach us, 860-522-WTIC, 1-800-966-9842. That said, let's go to Art in Manchester. Art, thanks for your patience. You're on Law Talk.
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Glad to talk to you, Art. How can we help you?
This may be a problem because it's one of your advertisers, and it relates to home title insurance. And speaking to my insurance broker, I think we have a large policy with him. So when I bring up this home title insurance, he says, Ron, you really don't need to have it. Because the premise is that your town, my case Manchester, puts my title up on the internet, which I can't believe is the case, and that somebody can forge against that and sell your home away. Is this actually possible?
Art, you could not believe how timely your question is. During one of the breaks when that particular sponsor had their commercial playing, I mentioned to the producers that I needed to look into this further because I had some skepticism about just how possible it was for someone to steal your title. And we will do that. Over the years we've been doing this program, we've had arrangements with a lot of extremely well-respected experts in various areas of the law. So we will reach out to one in real estate. Now, that said, let me answer your question. Many, if not most, land records are now available or accessible online here in Connecticut. The original documents get recorded at the town clerk's office, and the documents are then scanned, they're digitized, and they can be accessed remotely. So that means that somebody will see the document, they'll get an exemplar of your signature, and so in theory, they might know what your signature looks like. They will easily know the address of the property, the legal description. So Why am I skeptical about whether they can steal your identity easily? Because in Connecticut, the town clerk will only record original documents with wet signatures on them. And to convey an interest in real property, you have to have two separate witnesses. And the signature of the person signing the document has to be notarized, or it has to be acknowledged by a lawyer in his or her capacity as a commissioner of the Superior Court. So while I understand that it may be very easy to harvest somebody's signature and you easily get the legal description of the property, it's hard for me to understand how a forged document is still going to have two witnesses and how a notary public is going to go ahead and notarize a forged signature and submit it. But things happen. So what we're going to do is we're going to check into that a little bit further. The short answer to your question is the documents are available online, but it's very difficult for me to understand how a forged document is going to be created, let alone recorded. And until such time as it's recorded, nothing has happened to the title to your property. So that's the best answer we can give you now, Art, but I'm going to reach out and we'll have a live expert in here who's going to address that further, okay?
Yes, because the side of that is technically I could sue the town of Manchester for letting the original document get out.
Well, no, because it's on the internet. All the documents have been scanned and made available, just like the minutes from a meeting of the town council. You know, they've done all of that there. That music tells me I'm going to have to take a break because we've got to take a break. So, Art, I'm going to ask you to listen to a future show because we're going to have an expert in the next couple of weeks, and we're going to discuss that specifically and in a lot more detail than I'm able to do. But thanks for bringing up a very interesting topic. Take care now. Okay, I'm Attorney John Matulis. You're listening to Law Talk here on WTIC News Talk 1080. Going to take just a short break to stay in format, and we'll be back with more of Law Talk after this.
And now, back to Law Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Okay, here we are back in Law Talk. I'm Attorney John Matulis, and we're heading up towards 1 o'clock. Time for news, sports, weather with Danielle Dunsell. A couple of different things I wanted to go over. One of them we're going to talk about because I think it's very interesting, and it's got a personal note to it also. We almost never do that because this show is not about me. It's about you. However, it involves attorney advertising, okay? I have a piece of mail that I'm going to share with you. This is on the very impressive letterhead of the National Academy of Family Law Attorneys, Inc., and it's addressed to me at our law firm's address, Ray, Top 10 Attorney Award. Dear Mr. Matulis, we are pleased to officially inform you that you have been chosen to receive this year's prestigious Top 10 Attorney Award for the state of Connecticut. Through a multi-phase selection process, the Academy has chosen you to receive its highest honor because of the hard work and dedication you have shown in representing your family law clients. Okay? Very impressive. Should be very flattered, right? They give you an engraved 8x10 Top 10 Award plaque. They give you profile listings on their website. They allow you to use their badge and some other things of that sort. So I should be thrilled, right? Oh, and the way you activate this is you follow this award acceptance form. And here's the problem. I haven't practiced family law for 5 years. And when I did practice family law, it was one of the parts of my practice, but far from the major part of it. So the point on all of this can probably be seen a little more clearly if you allow me to quote just one more thing from this letter, okay? It says, to accept your award and receive the benefits, you must complete the enclosed award acceptance form and return it by April 8th. And now we've got an award acceptance form. It's got a picture of the plank, top 10 ranking, must be received by April 8th. Ah, here it comes. Award administration fee, $300, okay? So there you have it. Now, why am I mentioning this? I'm mentioning this because many of you have to deal with selecting an attorney to represent you on various and sundry matters, the legal in nature, for which you need counsel, okay? Some attorneys are going to be pointing out their affiliation with different organizations like this. Here's what you have to realize. Some of them are very legitimate, and it is a true honor to be selected. I'll give you a couple of examples in just a minute. Others, not so much. This outfit that I just quoted from fits very, very clearly into that latter category. In fact, a colleague of mine a number of years ago received a letter in his particular specialty from an organization, very august letterhead, very serious letterhead, said that he had been selected and he was going to be honored. And then there was a PS on the bottom of the letter, and it said, if you send in the award materials in the next 10 days, we will make sure that you are the only one in the state of Connecticut who qualifies. It's obviously completely bogus. This one here is laughable because I'm being lauded as one of the top 10 family law attorneys in a topic that I don't even practice in and haven't practiced in for 5 years. So here's a couple of examples, and there are quite a few others, but here's a couple of examples for you to keep in mind. They fit into the category of invitation-only memberships. The American College of Trial Lawyers, extremely prestigious. Members are invited to join by other members and colleagues. And if you haven't been doing what you've been doing and you haven't been at the very top of the game for quite a few years, there's no way you're getting invited. Okay? Another one in a topic that a lot of folks are interested in here, the American College of Trust and Estate Counsel. Okay? This is another one by invitation only. These folks basically are recognized by their peers as being absolute leaders in the particular discipline. Their credibility and their integrity is beyond question. So we pass this along. I hope that you'll forgive me for using a personal example, but it was just too good to pass up when somebody is offered an opportunity to advertise themselves as one of the top 10 lawyers in the state in a particular discipline that he doesn't even practice in. So that's the story there. Again, the takeaway, if you're considering hiring a lawyer who points to such credentials with pride, ask her or him what the selection criteria for that honor is. And if it has to do with invitation only, that's a very good sign. Again, I've only mentioned two examples, and that's what they are, is examples. There are a number of other organizations of similar types of credentials. I think that there's a National College of Criminal Defense Lawyers that is one of those also for people that may be interested in engaging an attorney who practices in those disciplines. But you've got a lot of these others out here that are completely different, and you need to be aware of those. It fits into the category that we've talked about before of hiring a lawyer from a billboard or from an internet ad. And one other thing that I'll mention, I just popped into my head, so I'll mention it. Lawyers in Connecticut are not permitted to claim that they, quote, specialize, close quote, in certain areas of the law unless they fit into certain very, very specific criteria. And there's only a handful of, well, I won't use the term specialty, but areas that you're permitted to say that you specialize in it. It is permissible for an attorney to state that she concentrates in a certain area. The reason why people can't claim that they're experts in an area is because there's no quantitative or qualitative way to judge that. And other than being in somebody's own mind an expert, I don't know how you explain that you're an expert or you're not an expert. So that's enough of that. I think it's a very, very important issue for your listeners to be aware of. And advertising is with us. It is all over the place. But if you are considering hiring an attorney and that attorney holds out directly or indirectly credentials of that nature, or if they comment on them, ask him, what is the selection process or the criteria for belonging to such an organization? And if it is, well, they sent me an invitation. I sent them $300. I think that that gives you the context in which to consider how much weight you're going to give to that credential and to the attorney who is bragging about it. Okay, we've only got a minute to go. We had a whole bunch of projects that we're going to talk about, and so we'll follow up with those. We are going to be here next week also. One of them I was going to talk about involves the word ademption. Okay, so that's a $10 word. It has to do with the probate process, and it has to do with what happens when somebody leaves you a specific asset. And if it's real estate, it's called a specific devise. But by the time the person dies, the will is admitted to probate, the asset is not there anymore. So we've got a little vignette that we're going to play out, and we're going to have the individuals involved. We're going to have Pauline, who is the property owner, and she's also the principal under a power of attorney. We're going to have Andy, who is the agent. We're going to have Donald, who is the party who was supposed to get the house, which turns out to be no longer owned by Pauline at the time of her death. So we're going to go through that. We're going to explain how this happens and how it may affect other heirs to that same estate. So we will do that. We'll get to some of the other topics. But as always, we'd love to hear from you, and we will be calling and taking your calls, answering your questions. This is the time where I've got to say my thanks. And so I want to say thank you to all of you that were good enough to share your concerns with us by calling and let us help you. Thank you to the rest of you for listening, because we hope that you found this valuable. Special thanks to Anthony Dorenzo, our producer, and thanks to Tom, producer in training. Both of you made it a good show. If it sounded good, it's because of them. So that's it. Next week, we'll see ya.
Law Talk is presented as a public service by the Hartford County Bar Association. Its content is intended to be educational and informative, but is not considered to be formal legal opinion. If you want or need a formal legal opinion upon which to rely in decision-making, please consider formally engaging an attorney to review all relevant facts in detail and examine the pertinent law as it applies to those facts. A solid opinion means better decisions. The views expressed during this program are those of the speakers and not necessarily those of the Hartford County Bar Association, its officers, or its directors.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.